All right, listen up. This is Hoxton on Audio Boom. Get your ears working, people.
Hello, and welcome to Double Tap, Audio Boom's official gaming podcast. I'm Alice Taplin, and this week I'll be joined by my producer, Jamie Wareham, as he tests out Octodad, Dadliest Catch, for the first time. But first, I had the absolute pleasure of talking to Janice Davis, author of the video game novel The Holder's Dominion. We had an absolute blast and spoke for almost an hour about the book, the struggles she had keeping her name on the cover, and what tips she has for creatives trying to break into the video game and writing industries. Janice kicked off the first half of the interview by summarising what The Holder's Dominion is all about.
You know, it was back in 2009, beginning of 2010, where I thought, you know, I have two circle of friends and they have no idea about each other, my gaming friends and my non-gaming friends. And I thought there's got to be a way to bridge that gap and maybe bring them together. And I would have, you know, girlfriends that would rip me for playing MMOs, you know, every Tuesday, Wednesday nights. And they would say, what's that word raid you always use? You know, what's a tank? What's a DPS? You know, why are you always busy from 6 to 10? And so that's where the idea for Holders came, is I just thought I would love to be able to hand, you know, a piece of literature to someone who's never touched a game or specifically an online game and let them see that world, let them feel that immersion and the feeling of having that gaming family. And so it's basically the story that follows the lead protagonist. Her name is Kaylee Ames. Woo, for female protagonists, I'm very excited about that. And so you follow her as she goes head to head with a hacker who's known as the Holder, and he's manipulating gamers inside and outside this MMO that I created called Edenair for the book. So it's cool that gamers get a hold of it and go, wow, this is awesome. I know exactly how this feels and that feels. And then they can hand it to their friend or a family member and be like, hey, read this and you'll get it.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, finding ways to bring people together and also to bring people the confidence to share their stuff, I think, you know, can be amazingly positive.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a perfect example. I mean, I used to be really, really shy, actually, and I used to struggle with speaking in large groups, especially after some really hard, traumatic situations happened to me in real life. And I was just scared to go outside. I was scared to go to the grocery store or walk my dog. And so to have the opportunity to build my confidence back up with the world through gaming was incredible, because I went from not really feeling like I could live a normal life anymore to being on panels now and speaking in front of huge groups of people about video games and writing and creativity. So I'm such a perfect example to share with others that, sure, you know, some stereotypes are true, and sure, anything can be addictive, like games or sugar or wine, yeah. Or shopping, yeah, or what have you. But the other side of the coin is that you can find gems and moments of real human evolution that you never knew it could exist. And that's what I think is really special about this book, is that it highlights the gems, you know, within the mud. Oh, and I have to mention, because I'm so excited about this, is that I wrote Kaylee's mom. She actually, in the book, she's her mom, because she is from England. She's from London. So it's really cool, because I spoke with all of my, you know, English friends, and I asked them all, you know, all the words that they use for different things. And I did my research justice, because I really wanted to show that Kaylee grew up with, you know, this London influence, and then her father was American. So she was kind of split between these two cultures, which I thought was really cool.
And that's interesting as well, because it's almost like she had these two cultures, but then she also had the online and the offline one as well.
Right, exactly. I love that. And I love that Kaylee hasn't been a hardcore gamer all of her life. So anyone that hasn't gamed can learn the world as she learns. And so that way it's not intimidating. It's not like you have to, you know, have been gaming all your life to read it or to enjoy it. And that I really wanted her to be that relatable character that, even though, sure, there's some suspension of disbelief in there, where you have to just accept that she's going to learn quickly and become, you know, trained quickly and become a good gamer in a shorter amount of time than maybe hardcore gamers can believe. But again, it's fiction, right?
Yeah. Well, and also if somebody's like, well, you wouldn't learn that fast, you can be like, well, would you want to read a book where she was just like, what button do I press? I don't know what I'm doing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I really, it's just been a dream of mine to write it, so to have it here today and be, you know, going to book signings and to be reaching audiences is really cool. And I'm writing two more books. I'm writing a sequel to Holders and then a whole another book in a different genre. And then I was actually approached to write a novelization of a new TV script movie IP from a movie company here in LA. Yeah. That's so crazy. I'm really excited about that. It's going to be like sci-fi induced and I'm really on pins and needles about it. And then one other opportunity is coming up for a fantasy series loosely based on a bedtime story. I can't reveal too much, but I'm okay. Really excited about that too. So it's really it's really snowballing, and I'm really excited that 5 years ago when I started writing the book, I didn't realize that I was one of the pioneers writing this new genre, which is now recognized as new adult. So it's pretty cool that the book has uniqueness in video games and a female protagonist and new adult. And I had to fight for it, though, Alice, honestly, because a lot of publishers wanted me to change the protagonist to a male because they didn't think that there was a wide enough audience for a female to be the lead. And I was shocked and devastated, and I had to fight for her to stay a female.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you did, though, because that's ridiculous.
It was. I also had to fight just to keep my name on the book because they wanted to change – publishers wanted to change my name to initials because they were afraid that male gamers wouldn't read a book by a female gamer.
Ridiculous. So what kind of tips would you have, first of all, for people, but mostly for guys, who are trying to write a good female character?
First and foremost, I mean, you cannot rush art. You cannot rush it if you're writing the opposite sex. And you have to immerse yourself in research and discussions with other women in your life. And not just one or two. I mean, a plethora of women. You've got to go into the nitty gritty and ask them about, you know, their development and their upbringing and how women would approach different scenarios and answer different questions and their dialogue. I mean, their verbiage is so important to get right. And so that's for sure what I offer. And then I do offer that even though it might be intimidating to not shy away from it and give it a go and give those rough drafts, give those scripts to women to look over and just ask them, does this sound like you? Does this sound like a voice that you can picture? And so that has been really helpful to aspiring creatives.
Like you said, you fought so hard to keep your main character a female, and you fought so hard to keep your name on the front of the book. So what sort of tips would you give to female creatives who are trying to like break into the industry or get their stuff seen and are just not having any luck because either they're a woman or because their main characters are women?
Sure, sure. Yeah. You know, one of the biggest stumbling blocks that I've realized that we face is feeling overwhelmed with not knowing where to go. Like, let's say we have an idea and we don't know where to go from there, or we have a script ready and not know where to go. I think a big part of it is finding your genre and your niche. If you're a female creative and you have a big passion for, you know, RPGs, video games, or fantasy scripts, hone down your craft to that and read and study and research and take classes in that genre, and then start reaching out to those specific companies that specialize in that genre, whether it's video games or if it's in literature. You find those publishers and agents that want that, and then you perfect yourself as much as you can. And what I mean by that is you put your best foot forward, so you know exactly who you are and your voice, so you can walk up to them and you have your pitch ready, and you've edited and you've crafted your script so well that your first impression is that you're already professional and you're already ready. Because a lot of times people will say, oh, I want to do this, or I have this idea but I haven't yet started. And that's the worst, because it'll make you sound like you're just a dreamer but you haven't done any of the work.
And I guess as well, you've got to be prepared for quite a bit of rejection as well.
Yes, that's the other thing is I think the best advice for rejection is realize that it's not necessarily rejection to you or your work. And most often it's not. It's simply that you haven't found the right person for your work. You haven't found that other passionate person that sees your voice and sees your vision, because you don't want to work with someone that doesn't get just on fire when they read your words and doesn't feel your vision and your passion. You want someone that is right there with you and that goes, yes, this is the story that needs to be told. So in a way, look at rejection like it's a good thing. Like it's just one more of the wrong person out of the way and gets you one more step closer to the right agent or publisher or, you know, editor or script reviewer or what have you.
We'll be back next week for more from the wonderful Janice Davis. And now it's time for this week's gaming news. Electronic Arts have announced that they will not have a booth on the show floor of gaming convention E3 this year. The company has instead announced its own off-site conference, EA Play, which they describe as putting their players first. EA has previously had the largest floor space of all the exhibitors at E3, and it's currently unknown who will be taking over their old booth. The developers behind The Walking Dead: No Man's Land have raised $10 million in financing. Next Games have said that the money will be used to fuel the growth of the company's existing mobile titles, as well as an unannounced third project currently in development. Atari has released a new game dedicated to celebrating the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer community. Pride Fest is designed to celebrate progress the LGBTQ community has made towards equality while working to emulate the spirited and celebratory atmosphere of today's real-world parades, said their chief executive officer. In the game, players are tasked with bringing a grey city back to its former glory by hosting pride parades through the streets, while avoiding protesters who hold signs such as "Do as we command" and "I hate colour". Now, for those of us well-versed in the world of indie games, nothing really comes as a surprise anymore. Want to know what it's like to be a piece of bread? You'll want to play I Am Bread. Ever wished you were a goat? Goat Simulator's the game for you. And have you ever wondered what would really happen if your family found out that you were secretly an octopus in a suit? Well, this week my producer Jamie will be discovering just that as I guide him through the wonderful world of Octodad, Dadliest Catch. What do you know about Octodad?
From what I can work out, I'm going to be playing as a dad that's an octopus. And I think the octopus is kind of orange and walks around in human life.
Okay. So basically the premise of it is that you are an octopus in human clothing, living a human life. But basically nobody knows that you're an octopus. So you have to try and stop people from discovering that you're an octopus. And then the other side of the game is there's a fisherman guy who's after you because he knows you're an octopus and he wants to like make you into octopus stew or something. So, and you have a wife and children, so you don't want that to happen.
Oh, are they also octopi?
No, they're all humans, interestingly enough.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, there are people don't really know how you manage to make human children, but
no. Sometimes I just don't question science. Just kind of let it happen. I'm doing a little dance right now. Okay, great. So, new game, I'm presuming.
Unless you want to do co-op, but...
Oh, no, I just want to play by myself.
All right.
Mr. Groom, the wedding is starting. Are you ready? You're not even dressed. Make yourself presentable. She's waiting for you.
This is my favorite part about this game is how many times you think that they've known that you're an octopus.
Okay, so move your finger to control Octodad's arm. Oh. Just
immediately
knocked everything on the floor. Clear the table. Okay, I'm actually supposed to be clearing the table of junk.
But except right now you're doing everything but clearing the table of junk. Okay, so now you're in the reception room and there's a big cake over there. Try and make sure you don't ruin your wedding reception room.
Okay, I kind of want to. Oh, I knocked over chairs. Can I eat the cake?
It'll be a swift divorce, I guess.
Yeah, well, I am an octopus. Find and wear your tux. Okay, where's my tux?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh. Dressing room here. I reckon that sign's a bit of a clue. Ho ho!
You're on a roll.
I feel like I am. Look at this, okay. Oh, just knocked over the sign.
And just as we say you're on a roll, your leg goes mental. See, now you'll see that is your bar of suspicion. So.
Okay, so make sure I don't knock down all of these vases, which in every other room I've knocked down.
Yeah. Quite
so
a this
lot
is of. Where you have to start trying to be careful.
Why? Who would put bananas in the church and think it might be a, oh. Oh, I knocked a vase over.
See, so every time there's a purple splat on the screen is one more kind of suspicion.
I think everyone just thinks I'm drunk.
Drunk at his own wedding.
Wiperino, I'm on my way.
She's not your wife yet. You've got to marry her first.
Oh, yeah. Fiance. Oh, thank you. You just called me handsome. I think I'm an octopus. Give the ring to Scarlett. Here you go. Oh. I just hit my wife in the face with my ring. I think there's
ring,
laws against that.
That ring goes the entire way around her wrist.
Oh, now I'm drunk on the bed. Can I just tap this because it's annoying me?
You can try double tap. Hey.
Oh, I see what you did there. The upsetting thing is I actually double tap the keyboard, being like, what do you mean, Alice?
Hey, look, Dad's up. Morning, Daddy.
So your children are like, morning, Dad. And your immediate reaction is to close the door.
Where do babies come from?
Unicorns.
When an octopus loves a woman very much.
Now that you're energized, I need you to take care of some chores in the backyard while I get some work done. There's grass to mow.
Do you get a feeling that you have to do everything around this house?
I do. Which would be fine, but I'm an octopus.
Thanks, Dad. These look delicious.
I disagree. I feel like octopuses weren't made...
For domestic life?
Yeah.
You know, I have a feeling you might be right.
Well, I would know them wrong, but I hurt my knee at basketball practice, and my elbow at baseball, and my foot at...
You know, at the end of a Family Guy episode, and they're like, so the lesson we learned today is, what have I learned from Octodad?
Don't marry an octopus.
Don't marry an octopus.
The lesson I've learned from Octodad is, if you want something done right, don't get an octopus to do it.
Don't get an octopus to do it.
I've got you now! I will hold you now! Second gnome!
Second gnome.
Honey, what's going on over there?
A chef is trying to kill me. So what have we learned from Octodad, Alice? What we have learned is that this game is ridiculously hard to play and took the best part of 40 minutes to record this, and I got 2 levels in, basically. However, I would like to say that I've enjoyed the game, and if I was to give it an octopi rating out of 10, I'd give it 8 octopi.
Because 8 tentacles?
Oh, no, I didn't think of that, but now...
Were you expecting it to be as difficult?
I didn't think I'd have to control every single tentacle individually. I thought it might be a little more simple than that, but it wasn't. It was quite upsetting and at times frustrating. But, you know, ultimately quite fun. I tell you what, give me some tips on playing Octodad. What should I do to actually try and win this game?
Well, first of all, I think go slow is a good... a good tip, because in so many other games you just want to get to your goal, but in this one the goal is to like get there in one piece, basically.
Without being next to an octopus. And I would also say, like, avoid the chef.
Avoid the chef, yes.
Definitely. I feel enlightened, Alice. I feel enlightened. Thanks, team. And thanks to the group of students who developed Octodad in their own time.
Yes. That's it for this week. Do tune in next week for the second half of my chat with Janice Davis. In the meantime, you can check her out on her website, janicedavis.com, or at conventions around the USA. See you next week.
Double Tap is an Audio Boom production written and presented by Alice Taplin.